Chapter 2 The next morning, Darcy brought his sister to Lambton. Elizabeth was astonished to see that Miss Darcy was at least as much embarrassed as herself. She had heard that Miss Darcy was exceedingly proud, but in fact she was only exceedingly shy and barely spoke. She was not as handsome as her brother, but very pleasant and gentle. Soon Mr. Bingley also arrived, and seemed genuinely very pleased to see Elizabeth. He inquired about her family in a friendly, though general way. He was careful not to mention Jane by name, but it seemed that he wished to hear about her, and his memory of Hertfordshire was certainly very sharp. The visitors stayed half an hour, and upon leaving, invited the gardeners and Elizabeth to dine with them at Pemberley the day after next, which they naturally accepted. Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner could see that Darcy was very much in love with Elizabeth, but they took care not to ask her any awkward questions. Elizabeth felt confused and lay awake thinking of Darcy. She certainly did not hate him, and felt ashamed that she had ever disliked him. She now realized that he was a very respectable gentleman, and felt grateful that he had ever loved her. Chapter 3 The next day, while Mr. Gardiner went fishing, Elizabeth and Mrs. Gardiner went to Pemberley to have tea with Miss Darcy, Mrs. Hurst, and Miss Bingley. Again, Miss Darcy was extremely shy, whilst Miss Bingley, as usual, was cold towards Elizabeth, who now knew that Caroline Bingley's dislike of her had originated in jealousy. When Mr. Darcy later appeared, it was clear that Miss Bingley had not given up hope of winning his heart. "It must be a great loss to your family that the soldiers have left," she remarked loudly to Elizabeth with a sneer. Though she did not mention Wickham's name, this was clearly an attempt to embarrass Elizabeth by reminding her of her past relationship with him. Miss Bingley knew nothing about Wickham's affair with Miss Darcy, and was blind to the discomfort she was causing not only Miss Darcy, but also her brother. Elizabeth quickly changed the subject, and Mr. Darcy felt grateful to her for her tact. After Elizabeth and her aunt had left, Miss Bingley quickly commented to Darcy that Elizabeth did not look well. "I have never seen any beauty in her anyway. When we first met her in Hertfordshire, I remember that you were also disappointed by her appearance, although later you seemed to find her rather pretty." "Yes, but that was only when I first knew her. Now I consider her one of the handsomest women of my acquaintance," replied Darcy. Miss Bingley's jealousy was increased further, and she had only herself to blame for provoking Mr. Darcy into making this comment. Chapter 4 Elizabeth had been disappointed not to receive a letter from Jane when she arrived at Lambton, but the next morning two letters arrived from her. The first had been delayed because Jane had written the address badly. She opened the first letter and read, "I'm sorry to tell you about something most serious and unexpected. At midnight last night, an express letter arrived for us from Colonel Forster, containing the news that Lydia has gone off to Scotland to marry one of his officers, Mr. Wickham. We were shocked, but for Kitty it was not so unexpected. I am very, very sorry. It is a bad match for both of them. Our mother is sadly grieved. Colonel Forster has told us to expect him soon. I have to stop writing now and go to mother." Elizabeth immediately opened the second letter. "Dearest Lizzie, I hardly know what to write. This time I have worse news. Colonel Forster arrived yesterday, and he tells us that he heard from Mr. Denny that Wickham never intended to marry Lydia at all. They have not gone to Scotland, and it is believed that they are in London, but nobody knows for certain. My father and mother believe the worst, but I still hope that they may have married privately in town. Unfortunately, Colonel Forster does not think this is likely, and told me he feared that Wickham was a man not to be trusted. Poor mother is so ill, she will not leave her room. Father is desperate, and is going to London with Colonel Forster, who must, however, return to Brighton by tomorrow evening. Our father would certainly be grateful for our uncle's advice and assistance in this situation. Please come home as soon as possible.
Oh, where is my uncle?
Cried Elizabeth, running to the door. However, it was not her uncle she found there, but Mr. Darcy.
Good God, what is the matter? He asked when he saw her.
I must find Mr. Gardiner this instant. I have not a moment to lose, she replied.
Let me or the servant go. You cannot go yourself, said Darcy.
Elizabeth agreed. Darcy sent the servant and stayed with her, offering to bring her a glass of wine. First she burst into tears. Then, when she was more composed, she told him the terrible news from Longbourn.
And I could have prevented it, if I had only explained to my family what I knew about Wickham, she cried.
I am grieved and shocked, said Darcy. What is being done to find her?
My father has gone to London. Jane has written to beg for my uncle's help. I hope we shall leave for Longbourn in half an hour. But I know that nothing can be done. It is in every way horrible.
Darcy walked up and down the room with a serious expression. Elizabeth understood the situation. He now had proof of her family's inferiority, and she had sunk in his opinion. And at this moment she felt that she could have loved him, but that it was now too late. Eventually, Darcy spoke.
I am sure you need to be alone. I wish there was something I could do to help you, but at this moment there is nothing. It is a shame my sister will not be able to see you at Pemberley today.
Oh, yes, please give her my apologies. Tell her that urgent business calls us home immediately.
Conceal the unhappy truth for as long as possible. I know it cannot be long.
After Darcy had left, Elizabeth realised she may never see him again. It was ironic, she thought, that once such a prospect would have made her happy, whereas now she felt eager to continue their friendship.